which is most important. So I'm going to call your attention to a countertext. Of course, Pastor Jeffrey's taught us out of Psalms 19, Psalm 119, and many other passages, but let's say the bulk of his message came from Psalms 19 as he talked about the beauty of the Word of God. And so this message is a supplement to that, to say that the Word of God is even more beautiful if we remember what it says.
Come on!
So that we can apply it to our lives as we go through everyday life. So let's take a look now, and I want to give a passage that immediately popped into my mind, kind of to springboard off of today, from the book of Romans, which is kind of almost Paul's commentary on Psalm 19 and Psalms 119 that he talks about to the church in Rome. Here in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, if you would locate Romans chapter number 1, we'll start here. And of course we have the Lord is just blessed with a good journey that we can take today in his word. Amen. Isn't the word a wonderful thing when you think about all the changes that it has made and so many people throughout the ages? Keep in mind, of course, that it says in John 1:1, as you locate Romans 1, that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. And without him there was not made anything that was made. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men, John said. Speaking about the person of Jesus Christ. But here in Romans 1, just to tune us in on the text that we want to look at today, we're going to start at verse 18. And this is, you'll kind of see how this flows as we move through the text. Romans 1, verse 18, Paul writing to the church in Rome. Of course, I need to back up just a little bit. I have a problem with that backing up all the time. I always like to go back just a little. So let's go back to verse 16. Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now he explains why the gospel is the power of God, verse 17, for therein, in the gospel, in other words, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. See that? So it is the gospel itself that contains within itself the power of God, and it is revealed within the gospel itself, the power of God. And it is written, he says, keep in mind, those things which we know to surely be true are the things that are written, that were written before time for our admonition and instruction. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith as it is written. The just shall live by faith. Now that's a quote from Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Now this is where we move into the text of his explanation and his commentary on Psalms 19, verse 18. Here in Romans 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath shown it unto them. God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things from him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own parts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So we have read just a few brief verses from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we love you this morning, Father, the best that we know how. In the states of depravity that we're in, even saved. Doesn't make any difference if they're lost and they've never confessed Christ as their Savior. God equipped every human being with a conscience. We come here with the internal witness that yes, there is a God. Yes, someone greater came to design everything that is here. There's no other explanation. The internal witness of the conscience tells us, yes, there is a God.
Yeah.
Even when from a child, that's why children, many times you might walk in, find them doing things they have no business, and you see them running high, they know that there's something wrong. Even though they may not have been necessarily taught. Because of conscience, we have an internal witness from God explaining to us that there is a God. There is a day of reckoning coming. You see? And so we know that. So God holds people responsible because he's given everyone a conscience. It's a part of what we call, when we talk about procreation, that's where the human family assists and works with God in the creation of the human being to bring them into the world. See, God has given you and I that power, that authority to produce children, to bring forth new souls into the world. And that's why it's called procreation. God has a part in it as well. God's part is to put the internal witness that you have a conscience and a sense of right and wrong in everyone that's born. So we come here, he said, this is why God will hold sinners responsible who do not respond to the gospel. Because they have the internal witness of conscience, and they should be able to find their way to God when they hear the gospel message preached. He says here, backing up again to verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. They can't say nobody ever showed me. Yes, they did. God showed that there is a God. Absolutely, he did. He built it into the very fabric of your being.
Yeah.
There is a God. Yeah. You know what? In the text Pastor Jeffrey's all together. So the Bible says that it is complete. He told Timothy that he was to meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. He said to Joshua, don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate in it day and night. If there was something else, he would have told him, go find all the other things that you need. But he did not do that. Amen. God said, meditate in the law of the Lord day and night. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the writer to the Hebrews said, the author and the finisher of our faith. But what about Buddha? Well, what about Buddha? He didn't tell you nothing about Buddha. He said, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy, he was the author, that means he wrote the book, and then he finished, he fulfilled the book. He did everything that was necessary for time and eternity for our souls to be saved. You see, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so we need to look to him, nowhere else. All these other people, you know, Satan is the master of confusion. He likes to keep us all confused. He wants us to fight among ourselves. The story from within. You know, instead of seeing that all of us, nobody's in here except by mercy. There's not a soul in here that's so holy God would accept them. We are here because of the grace of God.
Come on.
Always in remembrance of these things. try to make you feel bad because you know Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. You mention his name, they try to ostracize you and kick you out of the group. Well, they talk about you at the water cooler when you go down to the water cooler. You know, you walk in and they're whispering, oh, okay.
Raise it on.
You know, and so we get ostracized. We get kicked around in life because the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them because they're foolishness to him because they're spiritually appraised. You and I have to be spiritual. When we are spiritual, we get attacked. So sometimes we shut our mouths. We don't want to be confrontational about anything. So Peter says, I need to stir you up in your remembrance because I know you already know these things. You are well established in the truth. Yea, I think it need as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. See, he had to go back and tell the church, I need to remind you who you are, what a powerful force you are in the world. I need to remind you whose you are, so that you know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You are the child of God if you have trusted and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? As the pastor just mentioned this morning, who shall destroy you? If God is for you, who can be against you? What about a little criticism? What about a little reproach on your name? What is it if you reproach me? Who am I? Talk about me. You know, that's okay. But my God is still on the throne. You can put me down and criticize me. That's okay. You know, because Jesus Christ is still Lord. Yes. You can ridicule me and talk about me behind my back. That's okay. Don't have a problem with that. Because Jesus Christ is still Lord.
Amen.
And I am not ashamed, Paul says in verse 16, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. Not the church, not any of us in here, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It's an open door. Whosoever will, let him come. Bible says. Let him come. God is inviting you. In fact, I like to tell them that it's not his desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should come to the knowledge of the truth. See, God, if they don't get in, it won't be God's fault. You know what else? It won't be my fault because I'm going to sure tell you. Amen. If you don't like me, that's okay. That's all right. But God has one way for you to be saved. Uh-huh. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. So Peter says, I'm going to put you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, where I will endeavor that he may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. That's what he said. That's what's written in the scriptures. It will abide until the very last day, to the trumpet sound. We have the words of the Apostle Peter, who said, I need to remind you who you are, what God has done for you, what that means to you, and how you will persevere even if they take you out. He says, they're going to take me out. I already know. I already self-told. You know, I'm on my way out. But the fact is, I want you to remember after I'm gone that this is the heritage of the saints. That you might be criticized, talked about, and put down. Look unto Jesus. Follow him. Follow in his footsteps. And when he went to the cross, it was not a defeat. The cross was a victory.
Come on.
It was the greatest victory that ever happened in the history of time. Because he was there paying the debt for sin, the sin of the whole world, and one fell swoop. He came out just according to the promise of God today, all the way through the law of the prophets, from the days of Adam clear on up until the time that Herod the king sat on the throne in Jerusalem there. He was out of place. He didn't belong there. He was not in the lineage of the saints that God had blessed. He was usurping the throne that was not his. And Jesus Christ was born, it says in Matthew, in the days of Herod the king. According to the prophet Micah, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Matthew says. He came forth, and on the cross, he completed the work that God had ordained from the foundation of the world. The gospel was from the foundation of the world. God already knew the end from the beginning because he's an eternal God. And his son was crucified, slain, Revelation says, from the foundation of the world. So Jesus came for that purpose. For this cause come I into the world, to give my life a ransom for many. So that as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God. Even those that believe on his name, John chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, doesn't make any difference. Jew or Gentile, whosoever believes. remember. We need to put ourselves in remembrance of many things. We are called to keep the first things first. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not your own, but it's all. Being righteous is a great thing. God says, be holy as I am holy. But we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all other things, he said, will be added to you. Do we remember that? Sometimes we don't. It's easy to forget. You get hung up in work and all the stuff you're doing, trying to pursue a career and trying to build a financial future and trying to raise your family and all that. But all of that fits within the first thing that Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. So we're called to keep first things first as the called out ones of God. That's who we are, the church, the ecclesia. We've been called out by God and by the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is revealed only in the Holy Scriptures, that is from Genesis to Revelation. It's also being preached in the world by the creation. Forgetfulness of the word of God is one of the greatest evidences of our fallenness. It's because our body and our flesh is still fallen. God has blessed us, filled us with the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is present to everyone who believes. And a lot of people try to argue about that. You want to say, well, you don't have the Spirit unless you change this, that, or the other. The Bible says, as many as believe him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God. So that authority comes from Jesus himself. But we forget because of our own personal fallenness, which the theologians have called total depravity. The pastor mentioned that last week. And in most cases, is the reason for our discontentment. Some of us are very discontent, even though we're saved. We have doubts. We have mental suffering, a lack of faith. Yes. And a lot of this is the fruit of being not remembering who you are in Jesus Christ. Yes. A forgetful mind can cause all of these things, and that's the reason we have a resistance to sanctification, which is to adjust ourselves from being in the flesh to being in the Spirit, learning how to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, by sight you might go, oh, this doesn't look like I'm going to make it. But by faith we know God is with us. And if God be for you, who can be against you? We know the Bible says that God will supply what? All our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So even though it looks like I might be going to lack something here, underneath when we walk by faith and not by sight, we trust the word of God. And we know that God will supply all our need. Amen. You see that? And so this will help motivate us along the path of sanctification. And finally, in order to have peace in the present, we must learn to memorialize the stones of our past. And like in Joshua, after he told them when they came across the Jordan to take those stones that they had used and set up a memorial, so that you can remind the generations to come where you came from. It's our responsibility to pass the knowledge of God down to the next generation. You see, and look back at it ourselves. Look what God did. All you gotta do is look back. I don't think there's a soul here this morning who can't look back and say, look at what God did. Look at what he did. Struggling.